It's been nearly 4 months since the United States' withdrawal from Afghanistan, the collapse of the Afghan government, and the Taliban takeover. The country is now widely seen in freefall, with citizens in danger and a spiraling humanitarian crisis. Here's Nick Schifrin.
Afghanistan is on the brink of mass starvation. Every single Afghan province is considered food insecure or even in crisis. 23 million Afghans need food assistance. 8.7 million are nearing famine. 1 million children face acute, severe malnutrition and could starve and die this winter, far more than died in 20 years of war. Schools have no money to pay teachers because the banking system is inoperable. And the healthcare system is near collapse because international assistance that was the source of funding has been frozen. To talk about U.S. policy, I'm joined by Tom West, recently named the U.S. Special Representative for Afghanistan in his first broadcast interview in this role. Tom West, welcome to the NewsHour. The U.S. is providing hundreds of millions of dollars in humanitarian aid, but it's frozen all other assistance and kept in place pre-existing sanctions on the Taliban that have become basically de facto sanctions on the Afghan government. Why?
Nick, thank you for having me. Let me first say that the humanitarian crisis unfolding and worsening in Afghanistan is at the very center of policymaking. You mentioned hundreds of millions. It's $474 million in American humanitarian assistance. That's in addition to $4.1 billion since 2002. We've issued two general licenses that aim to provide for UN organizations, humanitarian actors, NGOs, to really scale up and meet the needs of a coming crisis this winter. Through outreach to particular corporations, we've managed to stitch together an operation that now is trucking in many millions of dollars explicitly to help humanitarian organizations scale up. We talked to the Taliban at great length about the magnitude of Afghanistan's dependence on foreign aid in the many months leading up to their takeover on August 15th. They chose a military takeover. I think they knew the consequences, and they made that decision anyway. And unfortunately, the Afghan people are suffering as a result.
The U.S. made those consequences clear, but today we are witnessing state collapse in real time. The U.N. says that if the trends we've been talking about continue, 97% will be in poverty. That is a level of poverty never seen before in any conflict anywhere. Do you acknowledge that U.S. policy is exacerbating the crisis, even if the U.S. didn't start it?
You know, I'd say that collectively the international community has not yet decided to pursue, for instance, sanctions relief. There are a range of things we want to see from the Taliban when it comes to establishing a record of responsible conduct.
What are you waiting for? What is it exactly that you expect the Taliban to do right now?
So we are not conditioning humanitarian assistance on anything that the Taliban moves forward with. So that $474 million is moving. And I'd add that there are about $1.5 billion stalled at the World Bank, the Afghanistan Reconstruction Trust Fund, that used to support about 75% of public expenditures.
I think, as you know, this is well beyond humanitarian assistance, emergency humanitarian assistance. This is what the government calls humanitarian plus assistance, the idea of a healthcare system, the idea of an education system, the very idea of getting cash into society, people's salaries being paid, without all of which they cannot live. They cannot actually survive throughout the day. Do you acknowledge that this is a question more than morality? It's a question of national security. If the Afghan state collapses, do you acknowledge that you could have a migration crisis that could destabilize the region?
You know, my first stop abroad in this job was to Brussels, where I consulted with our allies. Yes, I think the possibility of a repeat of 2015 and 16 looms very large in their minds. And that is why, you know, on behalf of our allies, I think that is reason enough to do more to mitigate this humanitarian crisis underway.
Let's try and do some specifics and get into the healthcare system. And to do that, I want to show a clip from a hospital in Kabul that my colleague Jane Ferguson filmed just last month.
Son of Saddam, written on a piece of tape stuck to this child's chest, is all that identifies him. With each shallow breath, his chances of making it grow thinner. This ward is packed, frail, sick babies lined up next to one another in beds meant for one. Almost a third don't make it. That means four or five of the babies in this room will die.
What is the U.S. doing to help those children?
Well, like I said, I mean, the urgency of a policy response is underway. But look, Nick, those images are just absolutely heartbreaking for anybody who cares about Afghans. I think as a society, a lot of us in America still care about the Afghan people, about the 38 million people who remain there.
Let's talk about education a little bit. 222,000 teachers. Can the U.S. help pay the salaries? Again, salaries that have not been paid, frankly, for much of the year.
I'd sketch for you maybe two areas of really strong consensus within the international community when it comes to potential support to teachers, again, through the World Bank. One is that we want to see a serious and rigorous academic curriculum. We've received strong assurances from the Taliban that they have no interest in revising the curriculum of the last 20 years. Second, we want to see some quiet efforts to monitor and give us confidence that when the Taliban say women and girls are back in school, they tell us back in 12 provinces. We want independent monitors to let us know the same. We've seen positive public statements in this regard from a range of officials with the Taliban. But we want to see follow through and we want to see a monitoring arrangement in place as well.
Is that follow through worth risking the lives of a million children this winter, given that those million children need more than emergency humanitarian aid? They need structural assistance that the U.S. is currently freezing.
So when I say follow through, I mean specifically on education and the matter of salaries. Unfortunately, providing 200,000 teachers their salaries, even that is not going to be enough to truly meaningfully mitigate the suffering underway. I think the scale of the intervention is going to have to be larger.
Tom West, Special Representative for Afghanistan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.